Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the scripture lesson just read. When I was growing up, the boys on our street played football almost every day after school in the fall in a vacant lot two doors up from our house. Adjacent to the lot was a house in which a lady lived who didn't appreciate young boys playing football. Occasionally, a poor kick or a deflected pass caused the ball to land in her yard. Every time that happened, she moved quickly out of her house and got to the ball before any of us could reach it. Then she kept the ball, even though we wanted more than anything else to take that ball and run with it. That lady was like some Christians who keep the Christian message for themselves. They don't witness to Jesus Christ. Timothy was having that kind of difficulty. He had shared Christ only to be rebuffed, mocked, perhaps threatened. And maybe Timothy was afraid of ending up like Paul in prison. At any rate, he was tempted to hold back, to be less than bold in his witness. In some ways, our situation is no different from Timothy's. People today are no more enamored of the Christian message than they were in Timothy's day. We Christians are a dwindling minority in the world. And when we strive to remain faithful to God's word and to maintain doctrinal discipline, people are going to regard us as intolerant and narrow-minded. And so we will be tempted to hold back, to be less than bold in our witness. That's why Paul is saying to us, as he said to Timothy, don't be ashamed of testifying to our Lord. Don't keep it to yourself. Take the ball and run with it. Paul encourages us to do so by reminding us that the God to whom we're testifying has saved us. Saved us from eternal death to eternal life. Only God could save like that. That kind of saving God had to do from beginning to end. That's sometimes hard for us to accept. There were those hospital visits you were scared of because you didn't know what to say. There were those nursing home visits that bothered you because you didn't get a good reception. And maybe the place smelled bad. But you made the visits anyway. Now, that ought to count for something, not only with the seminary, but with God. Whatever good we do does count, but not toward our salvation. Our works, no matter how hard they were to do, no matter how noble they appear, cannot cover our failures or make up for our sins. That's why they can't contribute one iota to our salvation. Our text says that God saved us not in virtue of our works. God saved us in virtue of His grace, which He gave us ages ago. Long before we were born, before we had any chance to do good works, God chose us to be His own. That's grace. Then God revealed His grace in Jesus Christ. Jesus appeared as a man for us, so he could live a perfect life so that all his good works could be counted as our good works. Jesus died for us, so we could go scot-free from the punishment we deserved for our sins. And Jesus rose for us to guarantee our immortality. Jesus brought life and immortality to light. He guaranteed our resurrection to eternal life. Then God, having revealed his grace in Jesus Christ, called us to that grace in time. He brought us to faith in Christ. He continues to call us through his good gospel word and his holy supper to renew our grasp on Jesus and to be confident of his grace. That's the kind of God we have. He saved us by his grace. So when we're tempted to hold back, to hide the fact that we're Christians, to remain silent in the face of injustice and hatred and prejudice, to keep that message for ourselves, let's remember that we have a God who saved us by his grace, and let's take the ball and run with it. The life to which God called us in his grace is not just a future life. Oh, we talk about immortality of the soul, and we associate that with heaven. But that life is now. Our baptism reminds us of that. Our baptism reminds us that each day we rise to a new life. God rekindles life within us by his power. That's another encouragement Paul gives us in our text for testifying to our Lord, for taking the ball and running with it. Paul reminds Timothy to rekindle the gift of God that is in him by the laying on of his, Paul's, hand. Timothy's ordination marked the beginning of his public preaching, teaching, and administrating. Timothy had been given the gift of presiding over the church. And he would be able to exercise this gift because God had given him the spirit not of timidity, but of power and love and self-control. Timothy wouldn't have to be hiding the message. He could testify to his Lord because God was rekindling him with his power. He could take the ball and run with it. And God is going to rekindle us too. How we need that rekindling power of God. We're going to have to take our share of suffering, just as Timothy did. Listening to unpleasant words, dealing with unpleasant people, can drain our energy and droop our spirit. We don't want to rock the boat of human relationships. We can't bear to wound anyone with the truth. And so we're timid. We hold back. We hide the message. We don't take the ball and run with it. But God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-control. By his own Holy Spirit, he has given us the Spirit. And God's power shows itself in our spirit in love. A love that goes out to people. A love that makes us sensitive to their needs, understanding of their foibles, and sympathetic to their sorrows. And when we speak the truth, even a truth that can hurt, people will take that truth from us because they sense our love. And so we will be able to testify to our Lord by our genuine love for our people. God's Spirit working within us will also give us the spirit of self-control. Whenever I see those words, I think of that famous poem by Rudyard Kipling, in which he says that the test of manhood is that if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. There's a lot of truth in that homespun philosophy. Losing one's head invites defeat and disaster in an athletic contest and on the battlefield. Not keeping one's head can be a sign of moral and emotional weakness, or both. It sometimes indicates instability. But the spiritual aspects of the problem concern us. Have you had trouble maintaining self-control? Maybe you flew off the handle, spoke an angry word, engaged in a profane outburst. And you excused yourself by saying, I was at the end of my rope. I couldn't endure it any longer. That's the way I am, with a twinge of embarrassment. But my brothers, we don't have to be that way. Because you see, God has given us the spirit of self-control. He stands ready to rekindle us with his power so that we can maintain our equanimity and maintain control even in the most difficult circumstances. So when we're tempted to hide the message, and like that lady who kept the football, to keep it for ourselves, let's remember what kind of God we have. He's a God who saved us by his grace and who rekindled us with his power. And let's take the ball and run with it. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.